Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray and Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So I went by our popcorn machine a while ago, Ray.
I'm watching the video feed.
Are you watching the video feed?
Yes, sir.
So I got my little bag of popcorn here. And then I was walking away. Popcorn Enough is really good popcorn. I don't know what brand it is, but wouldn't you agree, Walker?
Yes, it's delicious popcorn.
I know I've talked about it before here.
Very good.
But as I walk away from the popcorn machine with my little bag, Ron, who makes the popcorn for us here, Ron Cook, he says, "Here, Tim," and I looked around. I said, "What?" He said, "Here's some bacon sprinkle."
Oh.
Yeah, he said, "I heard you wanted some of this." I said, "Yeah, I never had it before." So he sprinkled some on here.
Ooh.
It's sort of bacon flavor. It is bacon flavor. And it's sprinkled on popcorn. And my taste buds are experiencing the Super Bowl.
You know, a couple days early.
No, it's the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right now.
This is it.
In my mouth. It is just awesome. I don't know. I'm not going to say much, fellas.
We should require by law all popcorn should have bacon stuff on it.
You've been put on notice here. It's going to have to be you, Walker, and I carrying the segment here while Tim does his popcorn break.
Hey, this bacon flavored popcorn.
This is what deplorables do on Tuesday.
That's exactly right. It's, bacon popcorn day.
So you're going to give something Don Lemon to make fun of.
I think it's bacon and rube popcorn.
Is that what it is,
Steve? I think so.
All right, Steve, go ahead, brother.
Just a note here, 34 years ago today, on January 28th, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds into liftoff from Cape Canaveral, killing 7 crew members, including Christa McAuliffe, the first teacher in space. One of those, do you remember where you were moments in life?
Where are you?
I was in Santa Cruz, Capitola, California, working at a county bank as a teller. And I remember I was walking across the street at lunch when I was talking with somebody, and they said, did you hear?
Yeah. Where about you, Ray?
We were living in Garland, Texas. I was pastoring a church there. And, you know, the space shuttle back then had become so routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in the early days, everybody watched it. But, you know, that day I didn't watch it. Then all of a sudden I got a phone call at the church from my wife saying something terrible has happened. And the shock of it didn't seem possible that could happen.
Was that 1986?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was still in school at Mississippi State, and I remember driving from Starkville to Columbus. I was on the Highway 82 there when I heard the news came over the radio, what had happened there. So that's one of those places, all three of us remembered immediately where we were when we heard that news. You're right, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was how many years ago today?
34
years ago today. All right, next story.
One more thing I want to get to. President Trump is announcing his Mideast peace plan, including what's going to happen in his plan for Israel and the Palestinian territories. Before we do that, I've been noticing, you talked earlier last hour about the tragedy of Kobe Bryant. The NBA has been showing its support for Kobe Bryant, and what teams have been doing, whoever wins the tip-off at the beginning of the game holds the ball for 8 seconds in honor of Kobe Bryant's number 8, the first number he wore, and then he gives it over to the other team, who holds the ball while the 24-second clock runs out in honor of his 24 uniform. And then the original team that won the tip-off gets it back, and they continue with the game. That's been going on throughout the NBA as a sign of respect for Kobe. Also, the Hall of Fame has announced that they will induct him this next year, a year shy of his retirement age. They usually have to wait 5 years, but everybody knew he was going to be going in.
Yes.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I found an interview that he did back in 2018, and he talks about why he used the helicopter. And I thought it was instructive to him. Now, I want to preface this by saying there's been some talk over the last couple of days recalling some personal ethical lapses and sexual lapses that he had had in his career, and he was not a perfect man. And this clip talks about him doing the helicopter so he could get a family, spend time with his family. So he's a complicated guy. I don't want to just paint him as perfect. It is a tragedy that he was lost, but listen to what he said about why he got the helicopter.
Traffic started getting really, really bad, right? And I was sitting in traffic, and I wound up missing like a school play because I was sitting in traffic, and this thing just kept mounting. I had to figure out a way where I could still train and focus on the craft, but still not compromise family time. Mm. And so that's when I looked into helicopters and be able to get down and back in 15 minutes. Mm. And that's when it started. And so my routine was always the same. Weights early in the morning, kids to school, fly down, practice like crazy, do my extra work, media, everything I needed to do, fly back, get back in carpool line, pick the kids up. And my wife was like, listen, I can pick them up. I'm like, no. I want to do that because, mm-hmm. You have road trips and times where you don't see your kids, man, right. You know? So, every chance I get to see them and spend time with them, even if it's 20 minutes in your car, I want that.
So that's what he decided. Mm-hmm. If I had the money, I'd probably do the same thing. In LA,
yeah.
I've been in LA.
Sure.
It's just awful traffic down there. So,
I read also, we were talking about this in our meeting this morning about Kobe Bryant. I did not know this about him. He's a devout Catholic.
That's what I heard, yes.
And in fact, on Sunday morning, Ray, before his death, he went to Mass with took his daughter, 13 years old, and I think she was, and she and he, that's the way you say it, went to a 7 a.m. Mass Sunday service at the local Catholic church there where he lived, and then left church and went to get on the airplane, the helicopter. We all know what happened then, but I didn't realize he was so devout. But the priest was commenting on how he regularly came to church and was a participant in the activities of the church. The reason I bring that up is a lot of people, when they get to be that level, okay, they don't need God anymore, right? They got it figured out. They got money. They got fame. They got fortune. But he doesn't see. But Kobe Bryant humbled himself to make sure he went to church. Anyway, did you find that? Did you know that about him?
I did not, and heard about it like you did in the last 48 hours. Clearly was a man of faith. Clearly was a man who respected God in his life. And Steve, I think it's not unconnected. I mean, you made an allusion to the troubles that he went through, accusations made against him. He went through a very difficult period in his life. And some men harden their hearts when they go through a time of trouble or accusation or have to face some of the decisions that they've made. And evidently, Kobe Bryant's an example of a man who went through the hard time and it brought him closer to God, which is the way it ought to be for all of us.
Well said. Very well said.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Steve, and Ray, and we thank you for listening. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Do you know, Steve, does anyone know what the president's going to talk about with Benjamin Netanyahu in terms of what are they announcing? A what now?
They are announcing, as we speak, President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu are in the White House, and they're announcing their Middle East peace plan, starting with what they believe should happen between Israel and the Palestinian states.
Yeah, finally, somebody's trying this, you know?
Well, you're right.
Yeah, this whole two-state solution is a new idea, isn't it?
Let me tell you, this is according to White House officials as they spoke to Fox News, and I'm just going to read you what they said. According to White House officials, the plan calls for a two-state solution, including the state of Israel and the future state of Palestine. Under the plan, Palestinians would have to reach certain benchmarks to achieve a state. The benchmarks include rooting out terrorism, stopping what they call pay to slay, that's where they compensate terrorists for killing Western people, implement steps towards free speech and other political reforms, The vision also calls for more than doubling the amount of territory controlled by the Palestinians. The map...
What?
The vision calls for more than doubling the amount of territory the Palestinians control. The plan also includes a map of a contiguous Palestinian state in the West Bank with a proposed tunnel to connect the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. There would also be land swaps south of Gaza to give Palestinians more territory. A small strip of land between the Egyptian border and the proposed land swap would still remain Israeli territory. It was requested by Egypt as a buffer against cross-border terrorism. As part of the plan, Israel has agreed to halt settlement construction for 4 years. Calls for a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel will maintain overall security. And on it goes.
Why are you laughing, Walker?
Well, I like the vast majority of what President Trump does, but what that plan...
Remember that Benjamin Netanyahu is standing right next to him.
I know he is. That plan that Steve just described does not take into consideration the fact that some of the Palestinians are bent, no matter what, on terrorism, which is why they storm the border, the western border there by the Gaza Strip. Every few weeks they storm it and throw Molotov cocktails over the border, and people die, and they launch rockets into Tel Aviv.
Excuse me for interrupting. They don't make Tel Aviv.
They launch rockets towards Tel Aviv.
Yes, but they don't.
They launch rockets. My point is, how do you bring those people that launch rockets towards Tel Aviv and the rest of Israel on a monthly basis to the negotiating table to establish a nation?
Well, they may not. But
it would have to do with the part about renouncing terrorism, which was in what I read. Also, I just don't see this happening without a writer in this treaty that says that the Palestinian state, Hamas, who's the government there, and the Palestinian Authority has to recognize Israel's right to exist.
Right. Go ahead.
Has Netanyahu signed off on this?
Well,
plan?
He's standing right next to President Trump right now in the White House.
I believe he has.
It'll be interesting to see what he says.
Do you suppose Netanyahu has signed off on this because he knows it's never going to happen?
That could be the case. I was thinking that too. Back in the day. President probably was, I don't know if it was Carter or Reagan or whoever, talking with the Palestinian leader, remember Yasser Arafat? And they gave him everything he wanted in a two-state solution, and he said no. He couldn't make peace with Israel.
A couple things here. These are my personal observations after many years of traveling there and talking to people, Palestinian people. The Arabs who live there in Israel. Number one, most of the Arabs living in Israel like it. Okay? They'd rather live there than live in a Muslim-dominated country. That's number one. Number two is... I don't know what you're going to do. The people who are at the top of the Palestinian Hamas and so forth, they're like mobsters. All right, they are not going to let anybody. I think the vast majority of the quote Palestinian people are the Arab citizens there who live in Israel. Are peace-loving people who would like to see some kind of solution to the conflict in the West Bank and so forth, but if they raise their head up to reaching out to the Israelis to make peace progress, they're going to be slapped down or shot down because the mob is going to say no because it benefits. It benefits Hamas and Hezbollah and so forth to have unrest in Israel because then they can get money from Iran and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. And there's a genuine hatred among those people.
Yeah, maybe
for Jews. It's an anti-Semitic thing. Go ahead, Walker.
Maybe President Trump is and Benjamin Netanyahu are setting up the stage to say I told you so,
right,
that the Palestinians, no matter what we offer, they won't even come to the table because, according to the AP, Palestinians are already trashing this plan, and they're planning to storm the Gaza border as a result.
Who is the leader now of the Palestinian?
Is Mahmoud Abbas?
Is he still the leader? I want to say he retired.
Well, maybe he did, but I don't know.
But now Hamas rules the. They're a terrorist organization, internationally recognized in Gaza. But now
they're also the recognized government there, though, as well.
Other parts of Israel, of the West Bank, where Palestinians are self-ruling, for the most part, the Palestinian Authority, that is, you know, Hebron and Jericho and Bethlehem and other places where, yes, those are considered a part of Israel. Ultimately, the Israeli government would have authority there, and that's part of the debate. But basically, the Israelis let the Palestinian territories run themselves, mm-hmm. you know, on day-to-day,
right.
day-to-day policing and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ray?
It's not going to go. It's just not going to go anywhere. Look, who here believes the Palestinians, for whatever reason, let's say they're leaders. We're not talking about the mass of people,
right.
but they're leaders.
Leaders.
Who really believes their leaders are going to step up and meet those benchmarks? I can't believe that Netanyahu thinks that's going to happen.
Right.
So this kind of, to me, this is a big announcement that's going to go nowhere.
I kind of agree with all of you, but it's kind of fun to imagine the Democrats' heads exploding if it did work and they were to award Donald Trump the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize
right.
without doing anything.
That's right. Without doing
like
anything
week one
at
of his presidency.
I know. Yeah. I know.
So we'll see what happens there, but with this announcement today. But the fact that there's no representation at the White House right now among, you know, for the Palestinian, again, I don't know who's representing. Abbas, I thought he had retired. I don't know who their leader is.
A man named Khalid Mashal, who was now the head of Hamas.
Let me ask you, let me tell you this.
Yep.
Ray, if you surveyed in secret the Arabs who live in Israel,
right.
and they said, would you rather live under the Israeli government or Hamas, what would the answer be?
It'd be overwhelmingly under the Israeli government. For whatever difficulties they experience, and it isn't easy, we all understand that, they would still much prefer the Israeli government to being under the Palestinians.
You mean being under Hamas?
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
It's like Hamas. Living under yes. the mob.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is what
Abbas, Abbas, he's according to what I'm looking at, he's still the president of Palestine,
you.
If you will.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, Tim, back to your question, you'd have to say the answer they would give in public would be one thing, because they felt like they had to answer it one way, but if you could truly get a secret reading, they would say, no, we're much better off under the Israelis than under Hamas.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
We talked yesterday about this coronavirus out of China. The death toll has reached now over 100 after 25 more people die. But I just wanted to – we're going to have to get Fred to explain this because he's Canadian after all. The Globe and Mail up in Canada has reported that fears over the coronavirus prompted a school board in Ontario, Canada, to warn parents against racism against the Chinese community. The proposal was made to not let kids who have just recently returned from China, it's a large Chinese community in this particular school district, to quarantine them from school for a number of days, maybe a week or so. And that has prompted warnings from the school board and the government, oh, no, we can't be racist. So just, you know.
Wait, are you telling me they've decided not to quarantine them?
No, they have decided to quarantine them, and I don't think they're lifting the quarantine. But they're saying that that's it. Don't be racist. About it. So
you talk about the misuse of a term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half of China's racist according to that because they're quarantining
sure.
off millions of people.
Yeah. You're right. You
know, they're quarantining a city, you know, Wuhan is a city of 11 million people.
Yeah.
And it's basically quarantined. So
what, Ray, what do you think about all this? it's the virus and such.
Well, everybody wonders what's really going on in China. The problem is you can't trust the government. A fact we've talked about over and over and over again with different issues. Is this virus situation as bad as everybody thinks or fears that it might be? Or is the government doing this for some other reason, such as to gain more control? It's a very scary situation because if the virus does spread explosively, you're not going to be able to quarantine it. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. More, you give me any more happy news, Steve?
Well, yeah. Tonight, President Trump is going to be in New Jersey at a rally for the congressman who decided to, the Democrat who decided to go against impeachment and then was kind of kicked out by his party and became a Republican. His district is in Wildwood, New Jersey, and I'm looking for his name, and I wrote it down, and it has escaped me here. But he's going to be at...
The Democrats call him Benedict.
There you go. He is going to be at the Wildwoods Convention Center. It holds 7,500 people. Ray, guess how many ticket requests they had.
How many?
175,000
what?
Ticket
what?
Requests. 175,000 people requested tickets to go to the 7,500-seat auditorium to see President Trump.
That's in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. And as has happened everywhere, people have been camping out for days to get
There's going to be a lot of people who don't get in that event.
Yeah. Yeah. So to say that there is going to be some surprises, I think, in November.
New Jersey, that is very interesting. Typically a blue state for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, that's tonight?
Good night to see. That is tonight.
Is there going to be some ticket scalping going on outside the rally?
Maybe. They're free tickets
you
to begin with.
You can make some good money
yeah.
with that kind of demand.
Wow.
Okay. I just don't see how the president keeps up this schedule. Of course, every president has a demanding schedule, but.
Indefatigable is the word.
I might have to look that one up, Steve.
I don't think you can use that in Scrabble.
Can you spell that again?
Can I not do the indefatigable? It's I-N-D.
I can't even type that much.
It means
he never stops.
Never gets tired.
He never stops. Never stops.
Have you ever used that word before? You've been waiting to use that word.
I've used it upon occasion. But
I prefer just high energy.
There you go. That works too.
I don't know. I would like to know what the man eats or drinks. I know he doesn't. I know he's a teetotaler.
Right.
And doesn't smoke.
And evidently doesn't sleep a whole lot either.
He likes,
right?
Apparently he likes Big Macs.
Yeah. His diet is not very much to...
He loves
He just must have good genes. That's all you can say.
I tell you, everybody, and I talked to a number of people, and Tim, you are a member now of the advisory panel for his evangelical...
Faith Advisory Council.
And you will be spending time at, I'm assuming at some point you will be introduced to the president in the Oval Office. Everybody to date that I have talked to that has met him in private describes him as a kind, gentle, considerate person that's polite.
When you hear him in private, and by private I mean I was in a group of 100 other people in a room, and he spoke for 20 minutes, and he was very...
He's very likable.
Very likable, very funny, very but not loud, boisterous. Like he gets in front of these crowds tonight, you know, he's going to let her rip. That's not all of who he is. He doesn't act like that. He gets going in his element there. You can't go like that all the time. Your head would come off your body.
Yeah.
So he's very, very nice guy. In person. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care.